And so our scripture reading is from the Old Testament today. It's Micah 6, verses 1 to 8. Listen now for the word of God. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear your mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Now, how do you define justice? You want to shout out a few ideas, anyone? Fairness, equality, dignity, honesty, modesty. Fairness, kindness, acceptance, compassion, love, the golden rule, tolerance. You all are definitely on the same wavelength as me. That's nice to see. Well, according to Wikipedia, which many of us turn to just to get an idea of what they define it as, the understandings of justice differ in every culture, since cultures are influenced greatly by their shared history. I thought that was interesting to remember. Each culture's ethics create values which influence the notion of justice. Now, although it is true that they differ, there are some justice principles that are one and the same in most all the cultures, based on moral values of right and wrong. And this is one of the things, actually, that led the head of the National Institutes of Health to become a Christian. Francis Collins said that it was that understanding that humans are created with a moral integrity, a moral understanding of what is right and wrong, that led him to believe in God, which I thought was fascinating. He really analyzed that and thought about it because he grew up with atheist parents. Now, advocates of the divine command theory of justice argue that justice is under the authoritative command of God. For example, murder is wrong and must be punished because God commands that in the commandments, thou shalt not kill. The Ten Commandments have had a huge influence on our sense of justice in the U.S., but also around the world. It is the moral code for Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all three. Now, social justice refers to people having an equal chance in life and fair treatment with a lack of bias against them. Now, that's social justice. Distributive justice is where wealth, power, respect, and opportunities for work and for a meaningful purpose in life are distributed equally. That's distributive justice. And if you think about it, our Pledge of Allegiance highlights our sense of justice at the end, especially when we say, with liberty and justice for all. That's something that is ingrained kind of ever since we said that all the time in school. Now, in the U.S., we usually include fairness and equity when we define justice. But Socrates, way back in ancient Greece, focused on peace and harmony as the products of justice when he said, "Justice is a proper, harmonious relationship between the warring parts of the person or city." Now, that's an interesting take, isn't it? Socrates had a relational perspective on justice. And that relational perspective connects directly, actually, to the passage in Micah today. And often the scriptures in the Bible are reflecting kind of how to expand your thought about ancient philosophy. And so if you know Plato and Socrates, you see a lot of that influence in the Bible writings too. Now, according to the prophet Micah, in this passage, justice is relational. It is the cause and the result of a harmonious relationship with God. Now, when Micah set up this chapter 6 like a case trial of the people of Israel before God as their judge, he was dealing with the people of Jerusalem who had lost their way, and they were pleading with him and wanting to know how to get back on the path of God. Micah had rebuked Israel because of dishonesty in the marketplace and corruption in their government. They were worshiping the idols of wealth and believing in superstitions. Micah was a country prophet, they say, from a little town outside of Jerusalem. So I like to imagine it was probably like Neola, Iowa. For those of you who don't know, that's the small town I came from. But the name Micah means one who is like God. And that's one of the things we talked about at Dottie Blade's service, is her grandchildren called her Micah because that means grandmother in Serbian too, which I think is really cool. So we connected that together at her service. Isaiah lived at the same time as Micah, around 800 B.C., and the people Micah was addressing had been following wayward kings who were not faithful to God. But this passage in Micah 6 follows a really important passage in chapter 5. So if you look back, you'll see that this prophet Micah famously predicts the Messiah's birth in Bethlehem. It reads, "But you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace." And now the other most famous scripture from the book of Micah is the passage I read today from chapter 6. It is written as a dialogue with God about how the people could restore their good relationship with God. And so first he predicts the Messiah coming and bringing peace, and now he's giving them basically the formula for peace. Now, since this was a culture accustomed to offering animal sacrifices to the gods, they were surprised that Micah suggested burnt offerings were not pleasing to God in this instance. That instead, they needed to repair their relationship by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly close to God. That formula actually is a perfect formula for repairing any relationship that we have today as well. If you aren't getting along with someone right now, try killing them with kindness. and then authentically advocate for them where they feel they are being treated unfairly. And then be humble through the strength and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's not the kind of humility where you become a doormat. That's the kind of humility where you listen, you open up your heart, and you try to be empathic and put yourself in the place of the other person. If you do these three things, your relationship will surely be restored with whoever you're having troubles with. One can't do justice, though, and kindness without humility first. It takes that foundation of humility to be able to do the other two. One is usually not even interested in justice or kindness until they are authentically humble. For the health and well-being of all relationships, both parties should strive to be just, kind, and humble for the relationship to be strong. So that's true in marriages or any kind of couple relationship especially. Now in Micah 6, God was deeply disappointed. So he put the people of Israel on trial in this text because they had been seizing the property of others. They'd been violent to the poor. And in this passage, justice is measured by how well the most vulnerable in the community are provided for. God is angry with Israel for not creating a just community where the poor are nurtured and sustained. By doing justice, loving kindness, and humbly walking, we create life-giving communities with peace and harmony for all. I found a story that illustrates what justice is. The story is told of a man who asked to see heaven and hell. First, he was taken to hell, where there were long tables filled with the most sumptuous food and delicacies. But when the man looked at the people sitting around the table, he saw only sadness in their faces. And then he noticed that their bodies were skinny and gaunt. Next, he was brought to heaven, where the man was shown the exact same scene. There, too, the tables were heaped with food and delicacies, except in heaven, the people appeared to be well-fed, and the expression on their faces was joyful. When the man asked his spiritual guide to show him the difference between the people's experience in heaven and hell, the guide pointed to their arms. There the man saw that in both places, the people's elbows were held in a straight position, so that even though they held forks in their hands, they were unable to reach their own mouths. In this way, the people in hell starved amidst the bounty, while in heaven, the people understood that if they fed each other across the table and shared that which was before them, that they could all be satisfied. This is a story for us today. There are many in our world who are suffering economically and emotionally, too. Despite living in the wealthiest country in the world, people today are going hungry. America's bounty is rich and plentiful, but we still need to learn how to share it and share it well. The difference between a heaven or a hell of our own making is in the acceptance of responsibility to sustain one another. That is justice. Justice is being the voice for the oppressed, the unprotected persons, widows, foreigners, immigrants, people of different sexual orientations, and to fight for the rights of the disabled, minorities, senior citizens, the poor, and anyone who is being treated less than a beloved child of God, no matter what religion they practice. God calls us to do justice, to live lives of humble faith where we listen for God's voice among those different from us. That includes Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, and people of other faiths who are also striving to practice justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly. We are to see each other as all created in the image of God, and all as our brothers and sisters. To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly, we must abide by the one universal law and golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But it is not easy. But God requires this of you. Not just today or tomorrow, but 24/7. Thanks be to God. Amen.